Welcome to the Talk Floor Podcast, where we talk all things flooring. And now, your host, Dave Foster.
Evan Hackle's with us this morning. He is the CEO of Total Training. That's a training and development company. He's also the founder and principal of Engage Consulting. And Evan, it's great having you with us.
I always love being here. I always enjoy my friends in the floor covering industry, and it's a nice way for me to get to connect with everyone.
That's one thing I wanted to add. You spent a lot of time in the floor covering industry. Actually, you spent 20 years, I understand, as a top executive at CCA. And in fact, you were, I think, the fifth employee. I
was the fifth employee, and I helped grow the company, and I led a lot of our franchise, you know, the ProSource startup in Stone Mountain, which is now Floor Trader. I was instrumental in the acquisition of Flooring America. I was president of Carpet One, instrumental in the acquisition of the International Design Guild. Actually spent some time managing and overseeing the StarNet co-op when their whole manager, if you remember, I think it was 93 or 94, their whole management team quit. So the board came to us at CCA and asked us to help up. So I went and spent quite a bit of time helping them save and create new management team at StarNet. And so then I spent some time, I was an owner on the board of directors of Parterre Flooring, which was an LVT manufacturing company. So I've done a lot of work in the floor covering industry.
Certainly know it intimately. But let me ask you an interesting question here. I think several retailers, probably most retailers, have had pretty good years, the last couple of years. It's been unusual times, and it seems like more unusual times are ahead. I think from what we read, most feel that the economy is wavering a bit and may waver even more in the future, which I guess presents an interesting situation for retailers. Okay, you've got some slower times. What do you do? What do you rethink?
Well, I actually look at downturns as huge opportunities. My mindset is a downturn is an opportunity to gain market share. You know, typically what people do in a downturn is they kind of, tuck their head in and, try to survive. People generally stop spending money on advertising. People stop spending their money upgrading their showrooms. People cut back on employees. And that means for those that are more aggressive, it's easier and cheaper to actually grow your business. If other people aren't buying ad space or using, Facebook or pay-per-click, the cost for clicks, the cost for advertising goes down. There are less people in taking mind share. There's still a tremendous amount of business. And, unless you're a very, very large company with dominant market share in a market, it's easy to gain market share and still continue to grow your company. But what you need to do is look at this as an opportunity for you to find new installers, because other people are not going to have work for those installers. So you have an opportunity to go out and hire and grow your installer base, opportunity to find better salespeople. It's an opportunity for you to look at going into other segments. If things are a little bit slower, if you don't do builder work, you don't do any, light commercial or heavy commercial, there are opportunities for you to expand in other areas. So I always believe in having a growth mindset. I think it's very healthy. You've asked me a question I could probably talk about for 3 hours, but the other thing I would say is, every customer should be maximized. So you want to improve closing rates through selling skills. You want to improve margins, which, by the way, is the exact opposite of what most people do. They normally cut prices, but if you are able to do better merchandising and raise margins, it's amazing how much impact that has on your bottom line. So, if you cut your pricing by 10%, you're reducing your margin dramatically, and the amount of business you need to do to make up for it, if you do the math, is staggering. But if you raise your prices and improve your margin, you can make more money being down 20 or 30% than you did if you kept your margins where they were and did the same business you did before.
This sounds like something that retailers should plan for during good times, so they can, you know, so they don't have to start from square one.
Yeah, the problem with good times, the curse of good times, how's that, Dave? The curse with good times is you're so busy just holding on that it's difficult to really take the time to literally improve your business. And when things get a little slower, you have an opportunity to really work on those things and really improve your business. So, you know, I no doubt that in the last couple of years, people were looking very hard to find good installation. No doubt. So now there's going to be an opportunity to find new installers, or, and, you know, I always feel you should be growing your own. I'm a strong believer in employee installers, not subcontractors. I know a lot of people are going, no, it's terrible. It's terrible. It's not terrible. I've done the math. I've executed the plan. It should cost you no more to have employee installers than subcontractors. And, you know, I think there's a myth that every installer wants to be their own business person. I don't think that's the case at all. I think installers, just like a lot of other people, enjoy having a steady paycheck. But if you can have an employee installer, you can justify training them because you're allowed to train your own employees. You have longevity, you have loyalty, and you can also engage your employee installers to train the apprentices and the people that are supporting them. Yeah. So this is a great opportunity to grow your installation base. It's a great opportunity to grow your business. If you don't think you can grow in retail, you know, go to Main Street Commercial, do hard commercial, do builder work. Look at every avenue, because everyone else is going to be ducking. Everyone else is going to be looking for cover. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, if you sit back and say, where are the opportunities? Where can I grow my business? Then think about where you are once the economy turns around. Now you've added a division to your company. Now you have better installers in your installation base. So you can now do a lot more. Mm-hmm. So I think downturns can be very healthy for businesses.
Do you see employee installers becoming a trend? Are more and more retailers going to start doing that? And the reason I said that is it seems to me that younger people coming into the installation trade are not going to want to be a contractor. And maybe sometime down the road they might, but it seems like you mentioned, they want the paycheck, they want insurance, they want, you know, a retirement plan, et cetera.
So I'm going to make this statement. Those that own installation will own the floor covering business. Okay, now manufacturers are working as hard as they can to make products more and more DIY. And, you know, their benefit if they make products more and more DIY because they aren't dependent on installation. But the fact of the matter is, DIY is the death to retail floor covering. Because as soon as DIY is taking place in the vast majority of products, the need for professional installation goes away and the big box stores are going to win because the big box stores are going to compete on price and there's not going to be value perceived by others for your services because people are going to be doing it themselves. Mm-hmm. So having quality installation is really important. Differentiating that installation, guaranteeing that installation is very important. And if you're sitting back and assuming that the industry is going to solve this problem on their own, I respect and I think I've seen more actual energy in the industry to actually do something than I have, you know, in the 30 plus years I've been involved, actually 35 plus years I've been involved with floor covering. I know for a fact that every retailer has the ability to control and grow their installation team. And the key is training. The key is helping and finding people that want to be in the trade. You can make a very good living in installation. And being dependent on subcontractors and risking losing people is not a way to ensure your business future.
It would seem like marketing and installation would be a good way to gain share.
I think so. And I think that people, look at affluent people are not going to want to do it themselves, right? You know, many people that, I mean, people that enjoy doing projects, yeah, they're going to want to do it themselves. But I think most people don't want to do it themselves. And certainly products, that installation makes a big difference, hardwood flooring, ceramic flooring, you know, doing design and things like that with LVT, laminate, all require professional installation, but certainly carpeting really requires professional installation. And I think as a retail floor covering business person, I want that to be a strength of my business. I want to have control over my ability to install product, because in many cases in the last couple of years, that has been the throttle that has held people back from growing even more.
Mm-hmm. It seems to me in gaining share, I mean, there's lots of basics, I suppose, but some are product. If you have new and different product or new ways to communicate, and communicating with different people. I'm sure there's more, but those seem to be some of the basics.
Well, there's no doubt that innovative new products excite people, bring people into the store. When the economy goes down, it disproportionately impacts the lower end in the middle low end of the business than it does the middle high and luxury end, because the middle high and luxury end, people are going to have money for floor covering, even in a down economy. The thing that people sometimes, I think, underestimate is the likelihood of their current customers buying again. And your next best customer is your last customer is a saying in retail. And I think it's true. Developing a relationship with your customer base, whether it be email, whether it be private sale events, whether it be just a simple phone call asking people if they're still happy with their installation, and harvesting these customers for additional business, referrals, is very important. No doubt, outstanding service, outstanding installation is critical to building a reputation. David, have you heard of Net Promoter Score?
Mm-hmm.
They say Net Promoter Score is the clearest indicator of your future direction of your business, up or down. And having the ability for someone to improve their, not having the ability is the wrong term. If you focus on and wowing your customers and making them excited, you are going to activate them in terms of them referring your business and the enthusiasm they have. And you want to have raving fans. You want every customer to be thrilled with the process. And it's not that hard to be thrilled with the process. It's a matter of having good communication. It's a matter of thanking people. It's a matter of following up. You know, I remember when I was very involved in floor covering, how afraid retailers were to call a customer after an installation because they didn't want to hear a complaint. And they figured by not calling that the customer might not bother to call with a complaint. Well, you know what? If you really want to make customers happy, you're calling them right after the installer left and said, Dave, you know our installer just completed the job. Want to make sure you're happy. How did that job go? And if there's a problem, Dave, we're going to get on top of it. And I can tell you right now, if you call them before they call you, they're going to give you plenty of time to fix the problem. If they're calling you, they're mad, they're upset, they're frustrated. And whenever you call to complain, your body gets built up in this energy. And of course, another big part of this is the installer. When the installer gets done, they should walk that customer through and let the customer say, hey, you know, this is all the things I did. Here's where we put the seams. Oh, by the way, you know, some of the things you're seeing here, give them a couple of weeks, they're going to flatten out, but it's just the nature of floor covering. And have that installer walk the customer through. So if there is an issue, the installer can fix it on the spot, and the installer can give the customer confidence that if there's a little, you know, curl in the carpet or something because it's the end of a roll, that this is not going to be a big issue. You're going to wow customers.
Mm-hmm. I guess if you have employee installers, you have better control over that and you can ensure that it happens every time.
Yes. And legally, if you don't have employee installers, instructing them in what to do blurs the line. And, right. You know, it's because in theory, if someone's a subcontractor, you can't give them direction on how to do their job. You can't train them on how to do their job. You can't give them expectations of how to do their job because they're an independent contractor. And then a lot of people think, well, you know, I like independent contractors. I have less risk. It's got a variable expense, all of those things. But the reality is, you know, you're taking a ton of risk that you don't even know. Because if something happens really bad, you're going to get sued. And if you have an independent contractor that's only working for you, you know, there's only so much protection you really have. So do I recommend that every installer you have be an employee? No. But you should be able to do about 80% of your volume with your own installers. And if you do that, you can weather a little dip in business. And if you pay them and bonus them on the amount, how many square feet they've installed, and you develop a nice bonus plan and bonus a big part of their pay, then you minimize that risk and because of when business is down, because your compensation to them isn't that high. So if you really, you know, I picked the 80% mark, not by accident, because with an 80% mark, your business can drop 20%. And it doesn't impact how much you're spending on installation. Gotcha.
Now, you had mentioned communicating with your customers. It seems like we are in the age of data. And I'm wondering how many retailers, from your viewpoint, actually maintain data on their customers and have a well thought out plan to do that?
Very, very few. Very, very few.
I mean, that may be people, part of the answer, yeah, of gaining share.
Yeah. But, you know, if people are using RFMS, Rollmaster, there are a lot of them. The tools are there. Nowadays, it's easy to get an email. In fact, people probably prefer an email or text over a phone call. By the way, that doesn't mean you shouldn't call your customer. But, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, not everyone had an email. It was a lot more difficult. But today, there are very few people without email. There are very few people without smartphones. The ability to actually reach customers. I'm old enough to remember, you got people or you got their answering machine. And, you know, people weren't driving around with devices. Today, it's much easier to reach people, much easier to talk to people.
I got you. Higher end products. I mean, adding products that you haven't concentrated on up to this point. And I'm thinking high end may be a good one for some people. Is that something that retailers might want to consider?
Totally, if their marketplace bears it. So if you're in a market that has an affluent neighborhood, if you're in a market where there is demand, higher end products are differentiating. They set you apart. You can make very good margins on them. They're not going to be shopped as much. But if you're in a very poor town or very rural part of the country and there's not a big market for them, you know, a little high end maybe, but it's going to be a mistake for you to go too high end. The thing to really think about is who is your niche in your market? And so first question is, who is your current niche? And second market is, what is the best niche to be? So if your current mix isn't the best mix, then you need to look at how to shift your business over. Typically in a down market, you want to shift your mix a little bit into more value-oriented products to get and capture the more price-oriented customers, but that doesn't mean you can't go after the higher end and the better customers. You know, there's only one recession that I can think of in my lifetime where the rich didn't buy. And that was in 2008. And that was an unusual recession. It was a brutal recession because it wasn't just that people didn't buy because they couldn't afford, because they, you know, they were worried about being laid off or they were laid off, but it was embarrassing to spend money because it made other people feel bad. You felt like, you know, I'm going to go out and I'm going to go spend this money and other people are suffering. So I think there was a lot of commiserating, and that the affluent in that recession pulled back. But right now, I don't see the affluent pulling back at all. In fact, when I talk to people, houses in the affluent space are getting bigger, more elaborate, more fancy. You know, people are putting in outrageously expensive hardwood floors, and you know, there appears to be no limit on what people are going to spend with people that have money.
When you said that, I was thinking about just rethinking your product offerings, which I guess a good retailer does on a regular basis anyway. I don't know, once a year.
Well, they should. And a good retailer is looking at how has their marketplace changed. So, you know, one of the problems in floor covering is, are you even in the right location? So someone builds a location, they've been there for 40 years. When they opened up, it was the right place of town. You know, the population was moving there. There was a lot of people buying new homes. The new homes had cheap carpeting. People needed to replace that carpeting with hardwood, needed to replace that carpeting with better carpeting because these cheap homes needed upgrading. But then over time, the community gets older. The development, the improvement, you know, you're not in a hot spot anymore. And one of the things in recessions are the ability to be at better locations, the ability to open a second location becomes much easier. In a hot economy, it's hard to find great real estate. I think right now, you know, my understanding, you know, is that shockingly, you know, not this year, but last year, real estate was pretty hard to get. You know, I would have thought with the pandemic that it would have been easier. But from what I hear from people, it was pretty hard last year. Not true. You know, everything I say is not true everywhere. And when we're with countries in a recession, it doesn't mean the whole country's in recession. It just means the country is in recession, but your part might not. But, you know, when there's a downturn, the opportunity to open a second branch that you might not have had because you couldn't find real estate, you couldn't find installation, you couldn't find salespeople, much easier, or the ability to move your location to a better location really opens up as a possibility. And you're totally right. A good retailer is constantly looking at their market mix, their merchandising, they're refreshing their business. And you know, I can't tell you how many times I've gone into independent retail businesses and just sit there and shake my head because they're cobwebs, their paint's not been, the walls haven't been repainted in 20 years. The flooring on the floor needs to be replaced because it's in terrible shape. And, you know, you just sit there and say, you're in a fashion business. I mean, we are in a fashion business. Even the low end part of the market is still a fashion product.
Yeah.
It's important that we resemble who our customer wants to buy from.
I see. Now, concentrating on your existing customers, as you know, as you mentioned, data, you have information, you have the ability to communicate with them in creative ways. What is the best way, and would you say is one of the more effective ways of concentrating on existing customers, people that bought over the last 2 or 3 years or last 10 years for that matter?
How do you pick up the phone and wish their flooring a happy birthday?
Huh.
1 year, 2 year, 3 year, Dave, you were here 3 years ago. I'm calling you to wish your floor covering a happy birthday. How are you doing? It's been a long time. Check in, you know, how are things going in the family? Just really nice, really friendly. You know, Dave, I'm sure you've heard the economy's a little tough. you know, if you happen to know of anybody or if you need any floor covering, appreciate you thinking of me. That is by far the most effective way. It's difficult to get people to do that. It doesn't seem hard. And I can tell you it's fun and it's funny when you're calling up somebody to wish their flooring a happy birthday. The response of customers is positive and enthusiastic, but people are afraid to make phone calls.
Sounds like a great idea. And, you know, I suspect, you know, I can remember people saying people buy floor covering every 7-8 years, whatever it is. But I can't imagine that's really the case. I imagine they buy room by room in many cases, and one room.
So these statistics are a little bit old, but what I knew in my days, you know, when I was very active in floor covering, was the typical floor was replaced every 12 years, and the typical person bought floor covering every 7. Now, I think that the average length of time that a flooring would last today is longer, because we're now selling a lot more hard surface. But I also think back in the day, there were a lot of people that were literally buying and replacing a whole house of floor covering, primarily carpeting back then. So I think you have many more people buying by the room. And I would guess that the average life of the flooring is up and the average number of years, the number of years between purchases is down, meaning they're purchasing more frequently. But just let's just say for the sake of argument, the average is every 7 years. That means 50% of the population is buying new flooring more often than 7 years. More often.
Interesting. Now, assuming that most advertisers do some sort of advertising on a regular basis, I suspect part of gaining share is to get that message in front of people who maybe up to this point hadn't heard it or hadn't heard it very frequently. Talk about that.
Well, marketing today is very different than it used to be. And what you can do in marketing today with social media, what you can do in marketing today with pay-per-click, what you can do in marketing today with radio is absolutely incredible. You know, you can go to iHeart Radio and you can literally buy ads for people that have walked into other floor covering stores. And, you know, you can't get much more targeted than that, which is incredible. You can run advertising and promotions on your Facebook page and have people that are gonna see them and have it bring people into your business. Creating great and powerful content is, really, I'd say this, it's easy to do and it's hard to do. It's hard to do because most people aren't good writers. It's hard to do because it takes time. It's hard to do because people don't have the expertise. But from the perspective of putting it onto social media, that's easy to do. If you're good at it, great. If you're not good at it, go find a company. And if I can plug a company, there's a company called Social Five. I think it's like the most amazing social media company I know for like incredibly small amounts of money. They will create customized social media for your company and manage your entire social media at a fraction of what advertising agencies do. Tell them Evan sent you. But I don't know if that's going to do anything. But you know, people like to refer people that they like, right? That's the whole reason why you need enthusiastic, raving customers. It takes a little bit of education. Some people just throw up their hands and, you know, I don't understand this. I don't get this. Oh, you know, how can I buy a radio ad that only plays for people that literally have walked into other floor covering stores? Well, you know, they know everything about you now. They know where your phone goes. They know, I mean, it's amazing what they can do. And it can be intimidating. And if it is intimidating, you need to find people that know what they're doing that can help walk you through the process.
Is it pretty widespread, would you say, among the retail community and the floor covering business that people are even using pay-per-click or using some of these ideas that you just discussed? Maybe they're not expert in it, but at least they're plugged into it.
Oh, yeah. And look, at there are lead services that people can utilize that provide them leads. And in a recession, those services should be less expensive because there's going to be less demand for them.
Yeah.
Pay-per-click is very effective if you have good content. If you don't have good content, if you don't have a compelling reason for people after they paid and clicked on your URL, you know, if there's a bad website that doesn't have great lead capture, well, you know, what, then you shouldn't pay for a click.
Yeah.
You know, I coined this in like 1998. The internet is your new front door. It really is. And having a great website is incredibly important. And if business slows down and you have time to invest in your website, that's money well spent. And when someone's on that website, they should feel like they're going to learn something. They should be able to sign up to be in your newsletter. They should be able to sign up by downloading and getting eBooks. And you should have tons of way to capture their leads and information. You should have the ability for someone to request someone to come to their home. You should have the ability for people to make appointments in your store. You should do all of these things. And, you know, and I've said this, Dave, I don't know how many times, because every time you say this, you know, CCA Global Partners, they know how to do all this stuff. And if you're not a member or franchisee of one of their concepts, you're really missing out, because it's really hard to be in this business by yourself. Really, really hard to be in this business by yourself.
Are those the people we are primarily talking about here, though, people that need to put it in another gear now that times are slower?
Yeah, it's a complete shift in mindset. It's a complete shift of, you know, when business is really strong, it's how do you support and hold on and actually deliver the business? You know, last couple of years, people have been focusing on how do I find installation? How do I get product? What products are short? What are the things I need to do just to deliver the product I have? When the economy gets softer, you now have opportunities. How do I grow? How do I build an operation and business that's more scalable? How do I open up? So it is different. It is a different way to think. But at the same token, many, 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 many people grow during a recession. It's just easier.
Well, competition. I mean, it's better because of the lack of competition, I suspect.
You know, if you go back over the last several years and you talk to people, they said, my business is limited by how much I can install. My business is limited by how much I can get. Well, if there's a recession, you're going to find installers, you're going to have plenty of access to product. Those problems are going to go away.
I got you. Most retailers, I guess, right now are probably more of the mind to, okay, we're going to cut back and lay low here until this blows over. Wouldn't you agree? I think you said that early on.
I think that's the way most people think in a recession. Most people think in a recession, you know, and I call it, you know, putting my head in the sand. You know, what do I have to do? I got to cut every expense I can possibly cut. I got to weather the storm. I'm going to fire people and I'm going to cut back on my advertising so I can make it through this recession. That's why for people that have a growth mindset have such an opportunity, because most people don't have a growth mindset.
Let me ask you one final question about, you were talking about finding people that can help you with pay-per-click, and I said maybe a website and this other digital type efforts. it seems like it's a built-in problem in that you have to hire somebody to do something you don't know anything about. And
well, Dave, you just hit the hardest thing out there. There are so many social media advertising agencies that don't know what they're doing. That will take you for tremendous amounts of money. And if you know nothing about social media pay-per-click, website development, it's extremely hard to know the right company. You know, my recommendation to you, if you choose not to join CCA Global Partners, where they literally have spent millions and millions of dollars in testing and perfecting marketing, is to talk to a lot of companies and get yourself and your team educated so you spend your dollars productively.
I see. That's really key, isn't it? I mean, the key to this whole conversation is really comes down to communicating with customers and potential customers,
yeah,
and doing it effectively. And this is really what we're talking about.
Every listener right now should go look at their website and see how many opportunities are there for customers to identify themselves. Do you have a newsletter they can sign up for? Do you have eBooks that they can download? Do they have a place they can go in to book an appointment to meet with a salesperson? Do they have a place where people can book appointments for someone to come out to their house? Do they have a contact us? You know, lead capture on a website is key. You know, it's great to have an amazing website that people go and go, I go, I learned a lot of information. But the goal of the website is to identify people in the market and communicate and start talking to them. That's the goal.
Interesting. Evan, I really appreciate this education. I feel like I want to go out and open a retail store after this.
That's what we should do. We should do one together.
that'd be one of, I should say my wife was a retailer. So maybe I've got a heads up on that. But anyway.
Dave, I'm gonna let you in a secret. Anybody that was a retailer is still a retailer. You can't get it out of your blood.
Yeah, I know that. I could tell you stories, but we don't have time to do that. Evan, really, thanks for joining us. I always love having you on the program.
It's my pleasure, and hello to all my friends in the floor covering industry.
We've been talking with Evan Hackel. He is CEO of Tortle Training. He's also the founder and principal in Engage Consulting, and this is Talk Floor TV.